for joining us.
Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza, coming to you live from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across the United States and Africa this Wednesday, November 6, 2024. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump wins the U.S. election.
I want to thank the American people for the extraordinary honor of being elected your 47th president and your 45th president.
And Africa reacts to the results of the U.S. elections.
I was perplexed by the energy and the enthusiasm that both the leading candidates, that Donald Trump and Kamala Harris, exhibited throughout the process.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. VOA is projecting that former U.S. President Donald Trump has defeated current Vice President Kamala Harris following key victories in several key states. VOA's senior Washington correspondent Caroline Presutti was at the election night celebration in Florida, where Trump celebrated his win before most news networks had decided the race.
The next president of the United States is a familiar one.
I want to thank the American people for the extraordinary honor of being elected your 47th president and your 45th president.
Former President Donald Trump waited more than 7 hours after the polls closed on the East Coast to address his followers.
It's time to put the divisions of the past 4 years behind us. It's time to unite.
Supporters were always confident, despite polls showing a razor-thin difference between Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris. Steve McGuire's wife made 10,000 calls for Trump during the campaign.
I think a lot of people are just tired of what's going on in the country. Just everything's up. Food, fuel, housing.
Aaliyah Weber is from Florida.
I like the 4 years we had under Trump prior, and I'm hoping we can get back to that.
After Trump achieved the required 270 electoral votes, the red wave continued in the U.S. Senate as the Republicans took the majority. It's been a brutally long campaign, with Trump surviving two assassination attempts. A bullet in July grazed his ear, leaving an iconic image of the presidential candidate mouthing, "Fight, fight, fight." Renee White was sitting behind him that day in Butler, Pennsylvania, and she was in West Palm Beach election night. She says Trump needs to keep that attitude these next 4 years.
I don't think it's going to be easy. You have to keep fighting.
It's almost as if this crowd knew from the beginning that their man would win again. These are the hats that were given out as people walked into this election night party. On the back, Trump, with 45 and 47 written on the side. Carolyn Presutti, VOA News, West Palm Beach, Florida.
Supporters of the Republican Party in South Sudan are celebrating the results of the U.S. elections. Tong Deng is one of the Republican supporters who predicted the results of the elections before President-elect Donald Trump was declared a winner.
I knew from day one that Trump was going to win because, one, Trump had a very strong domestic policy. And anybody that has a good domestic policy will always win. And that is exactly what happened because Trump had a very good policy for local Americans. That is one. Number two, he also had a very good foreign policy that he wanted to do to stop the wars overseas. And make sure that everybody is free around the world so that there are no conflicts that are happening like what is going on in Gaza, the war in Ukraine and Russia. So he is out there to stop those wars. And that was one of the things that the international community are actually with that because they want this war to stop. So that one thing I knew that it was going to be good. third one is that he had a very good economic policy for Americans. And that economic policy is that if you have a very good economic policy, it means that your people are well off. Because if you have nothing to your people, then nobody will vote for you. And if you strengthen the economy for your own country, this is very good. And that is one of the things that I have been supporting. I have been saying that Trump will win. Because I know that he had a very good plan for the country as well as foreign policy.
You were talking about good domestic policy for the American people. Could you talk about that domestic policy a little bit? Could you expound on that?
Okay, the domestic policy that Trump focused locally. He focused a lot on America. This is where you want to fix the economy. You want to make sure that the services, infrastructure, water, and all any other service delivery services in America are strengthened. And that's one thing that the indigenous Americans are very happy with that because they like that policy. They want to see things are done. They want to see that their children are going to school. They will get the school loan. They get everything that they want to make sure that they get the services that they want. Because sometimes America are the leader of the world. Most of the other politicians, they focus a lot on foreign policy and forgetting that. The people who vote for them also need their services. And this is why Trump had that policy of American first. America first is a very good policy locally. That is a very good domestic policy. Because other people, that thing that is not a good thing, but why do you want your vote? Because the people who are going to vote for Trump are Americans. They are not foreigners. They are American, and they want something that is good for them. So that is the reason that I'm saying that you have a very good domestic policy.
Talking about something that is good for the American people, what are you expecting from the president-elect Donald Trump in terms of U.S.-South Sudan relations?
No, actually, I cannot say, but what I know, America was the first people who made sure that there is Sudan Peace Act, which was actually signed during the Bush administration. Sudan Peace Act was a roadmap for Sudan conflict that was going on between the SPLM and the government of Sudan. And that Peace Act resulted to the CPA, that is the Comprehensive Peace Agreement that was signed in Nairobi in 2005. And that Comprehensive Peace Agreement gave the sovereigns transition period of 6 years so that they can decide whether they want a united Sudan or they need a independent Sudan. So people were given a right to vote, to have a referendum. That referendum was done right after 6 years. There was a referendum that was done in January in 2011, and consequently were able to vote peacefully. And that actually was. So the whole process was supported by America. And that America will support South Sudan, I don't think that they will forget. This is the policy of the U.S. government. America will never forget South Sudan. That was the child born out of America. So they will never forget about South Sudan.
The relationship between the United States and South Sudan has been rusty for the past years. And even this year, it's been, up and down. What are you expecting from President-elect Donald Trump?
Yeah, I mean, the relationship of South Sudan government and the U.S. government has been very good for the last couple of years. But I look at it as a positive way. What the U.S. government has been telling South Sudan is that you manage your resources well and take care of your own people. That's what they are saying. And that is what every government in the world does. They manage their own resources and make sure that they cater for their own people. So the difference between South Sudan government and the U.S. government is that we don't manage our own things, the resources like the oil, and make sure that we take care of our own people. Like now, for example, the civil servants have not been paid for the last 11 months, and this is what the Americans are saying. Americans are not talking about anything for themselves. They are telling South Sudan to do good things for themselves, and that is a good thing that we should welcome it in a positive way than look at it as a negative. So all we need is just to fix our own house and make sure that everything is good. America will not have a problem. They don't need anything in South Sudan. In Australia, we are the one who needs something from there.
Someone listening to me and you would say you are one in a million who is supporting the Republican Party in the United States. What motivated you to support the Republican Party?
No, actually, the reason that I'm supporting the Republican Party, as I mentioned earlier, the Republican Party are a government that has a party that has a very strong domestic policy for their own people. And this is very good, because this is what I'm looking at. I want to see our own government ourselves today taking a very good care of your own people. This is what you do, because, for example, John, you are a family man. I don't think that you are not taking care of your own family. Because if you don't take care of your own family, then forget about it. You don't have a family. You have a family that is scattered. And that is what America, that is what Republicans are doing. They make sure that the interest of America is taken care of, number one. Then the other thing comes second.
That's Tong Dengane, one of the Republican Party supporters in South Sudan's capital, who predicted the results of the election. He spoke to me from Juba earlier today. This program made several attempts to speak with Democratic Party supporters in Juba, but most of them declined to comment on the results of the elections. Africans are reacting to the results of the elections with President Donald Trump declared the winner. People's news outlets and governments around the world are reacting to the U.S. presidential election. Journalist Darren Taylor in Johannesburg, South Africa, spoke with VOA editor Kate Pound Dawson about the reaction of the continent.
Hey, so I'm picking up from across the continent, various media organizations, many expressing shock, not about Trump's win, but about the margin of his victory. Yet many in Africa expected the race to be much closer, and more than a few headlines say that Trump's victory is the greatest comeback in contemporary political history. South Africa's independent newspaper, for example, calls the result stunning and historic. Kenya's Nation newspaper calls it a remarkable turnaround, given it said that Trump's political career seemed to be over the moment his supporters attacked the Capitol in Washington, D.C. on January the 6th, 2020. I'm staying in Kenya. The East African newspaper headline is, Donald Trump wins the U.S. presidency in a stunning comeback. The respected African Business magazine says, in commentary, says that Trump's dramatic victory is once again likely to trigger a major shift away from U.S. foreign policy and economic orthodoxy, adding that the Republicans' return to the White House will surely spark uncertainty and instability in Africa's emerging economies. In South Africa, Africa's most diversified and most industrialized economy, many of the headlines are about money and how much the rand currency has weakened because of Trump's victory. The Daily Maverick newspaper sums it up perfectly when it says, the rand tanks as Trump poised to return to the White House.
Now, have any African national leaders responded or reacted publicly to the Trump victory?
There's been quite a steady stream of reaction from African leaders. One of the first to congratulate Trump was Nigeria's president, Bola Tinubu. A government statement said that President Tinubu looks forward to strengthening relations between Nigeria and the U.S. amid complex challenges and opportunities of the contemporary world. Tinubu said in the statement, together we can foster economic cooperation, promote peace, and address global challenges that affect our citizens. Another prominent African leader who was far up in the queue to congratulate Trump was South Africa's president, Cyril Ramaphosa. In a post on the social media network X, President Ramaphosa said, quote, I look forward to continuing the close and mutually beneficial partnership between our two nations across all domains of our cooperation. Abiy Ahmed, Ethiopia's prime minister, said on X as well, congratulations to President Donald Trump on your election victory and comeback. Other posts I've seen, Kate, were from Zimbabwe President Emmerson Mnangagwa and Guinea-Bissau's President Umaro Sissoko Embalo, who, much along the same lines as what I've previously mentioned, congratulated Trump and again expressed the hope that Trump's victory would spur further economic cooperation between Africa and the U.S.
That was Darren Taylor speaking by phone from Johannesburg with my colleague Kate Powell-Dowson. President-elect Trump has received congratulations from dozens of world leaders, including Japan's Prime Minister, India's Prime Minister, and Israel's leader Benjamin Netanyahu. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, Africa reacts to Donald Trump's election victory. Find out more after the break. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. What does the Trump victory mean? What are some of the ways his new administration, which begins on January 20, 2025, could differ from President Joe Biden's administration? A short while ago, my colleague Yehia Suhi spoke to Ambassador J. Peter Pham, a former U.S. special envoy to Sahel who has served under both Republican and Democratic administrations.
Well, I expect President Trump, he is one of the endearing or frustrating, depending on your point of view, what you see is what you get. And he has campaigned very much on an agenda of revitalizing the United States domestically, economically, but also on the global stage, peace through security. So we expect him to implement that agenda globally. He is very transparent in that regard, and that's what the American people voted for when they gave him not only the majority needed in the Electoral College, but the first Republicans in 20 years. He also has won the popular vote as well.
What new foreign policy items are likely to change across the globe, particularly in Africa, Mr. Ambassador?
Well, President Trump has always said that he wants partners who are capable, that share the burdens, whether those be NATO allies in Europe, spending what they themselves committed to more than a decade ago to spend on their own defense, but also allies in other areas of the world, including Africa, who are capable, who contribute to America's security, even as America contributes to theirs. And so I expect in Africa that same reciprocity to be at work, whether it be on trade issues, whether it be in issues of national interest, whether it be on security issues. And he will take a very hard look at whether certain commitments are worth American treasure, much less American lives. The Trump administration, President Trump, made the decision to withdraw U.S. forces from Somalia, a decision reversed by the Biden administration. I expect that in a Trump administration, we will look at that again and decide whether the corrupt government in Mogadishu is a fitting partner for the U.S.
That was Ambassador J. Peter Pham, a distinguished fellow with the Atlantic Council's Africa Center and the former U.S. Special Envoy to the Sahel. He spoke with my colleague Yehia Suhi here at our studios in Washington. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Many people across Africa stayed late last night monitoring election results on TV and radio. Here are some reactions from the continent when the results were announced.
The 2024 U.S. presidential election has been a fierce one. While Kenyans are receptive of Trump's win, they believe their issues will focus less in his administration. This could likely erase some inroads made by his predecessor, Joe Biden, who has been keen on rebuilding economic and political ties with the continent.
What are you communicating if you want to be led by a convicted felon with very, very serious charges whose agenda goes against basically everybody who is not white? It's honestly chilling.
I must say that the U.S. presidential elections were pivotal. They were historic in nature and highly competitive. I was perplexed by the energy and the enthusiasm that both the leading candidates, that's Donald Trump and Kamala Harris, exhibited throughout the process.
I was inclined towards Kamala Harris being the next president because of the policies that they championed for, such as the reproductive health rights. The outcome of the elections have gone contrary to my expectations.
These are voices of Kenyans commenting on the outcome of the U.S. elections. With Donald Trump's projected victory in the 2024 U.S. presidential elections, VOA's Tina Train explores how his past policies and current position offer insights into the upcoming presidency.
It's official. 78-year-old Donald J. Trump, the former U.S. president, will once again occupy the White House as president of the United States. Like Grover Cleveland in the late 1800s, Trump will serve two non-consecutive terms in office as the 45th and the 47th U.S. president. To understand how a second Trump presidency could play out, it helps to look back at his first term in office and recent claims on the campaign trail. Immigration is a major theme for Trump, and his restrictive policies are tied to his nationalist America First views. Back in 2017, 7 days after he was sworn in, Trump imposed a 90-day travel ban barring citizens of seven Muslim-majority countries from entering the U.S.
I'm establishing new vetting measures to keep radical Islamic terrorists out of the United States of America. We don't want them here.
During this year's presidential campaign, Trump spoke forcefully about what he calls a migrant invasion, making border security a key electoral issue. He told supporters in North Carolina what he would say to Mexico's new president.
I'm going to inform her on day one or sooner that if they don't stop this onslaught of criminals and drugs coming into our country, I'm going to immediately impose a 25% tariff on everything they send in to the United States of America.
During his presidency, Trump imposed tariffs on Chinese imports and seems unlikely to change tactics this time around.
They've really been hurting us. It's so ridiculous. They end up closing. Everybody loses their job. Then they make it in their country, and then they send it back to us with no tax, no nothing. And we lose it. We lose the company, we lose the jobs, we lose sort of everything, and it's so stupid.
Trump pulled the U.S. out of the 2015 Paris Agreement, an international treaty tackling climate change, global warming, and greenhouse gas emissions.
I was elected to represent the citizens of Pittsburgh, not Paris.
Trump says his energy policy will focus on increased domestic oil production and a rollback of environmental regulations.
We're going to, first day, first hour, we can do many things in the first, but first, we're going to drill, baby, drill.
In his second term as president, Trump is promising a more protectionist and isolationist approach than the last 4 years of President Joe Biden. Tina Trin, VOA News, New York.
Still on election issues, Arab leaders quickly congratulated Donald Trump on his U.S. presidential election victory. Some are hopeful he could bring an end to the conflict raging in the Middle East, while others are looking for a stronger stance against Iran. Dael Gavlak is in Amman and reports.
Saudi Arabia's King Salman and Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, the United Arab Emirates leaders, and Qatar's Emir Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad all congratulated Donald Trump on his first presidential win, saying strengthening strategic partnerships is important. Daniel Kholia Khati, president of the Research Center for Cooperation and Peace Building in Beirut, tells VOA that during the election, Trump emphasized personal ties with such leaders compared to what she called Biden's more transactional approach. Khati said Arab leaders want Trump to end war in Gaza and Lebanon.
One of his main campaign promise was to end the war in Gaza, but end it how? Will it end with a Palestinian state? We don't know. The thing that is worrying is Netanyahu attacking Iran. This will be major. Handling Iran will not be easy for Trump.
Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman has reiterated that his country would not consider improving ties with Israel unless the Gaza war ended and a Palestinian state is established. Wealthy Gulf states have bolstered ties with Iran and given the Islamic Republic assurances that they won't allow Israel to use their airspace to facilitate attacks on Iran. In its response to the elections, Iran played down the result, saying it was ready for confrontation with Israel. Jordan's King Abdullah, Egypt's Abdel Fattah el-Sisi, and Lebanon's caretaker Prime Minister Najib Makati, involved in trying to negotiate an end to the raging conflicts, also congratulated Trump. Analyst Osama al-Sharif in Amman says he believes Trump will pressure Netanyahu to end the conflicts before the presidential inauguration next year.
He will tell Netanyahu boldly to wrap things up before the 20th of January, because those two wars, especially Gaza, have become so toxic and they have become part of the Biden stigma, which eventually also was inflicted on Harris. Trump doesn't need to start his first day at the office with more news of children getting killed and hospitals being blown up.
Al-Sharif tells VOA that Iran will be a big challenge for Trump, who he says is an isolationist who wants to extract America from any conflict. He suggests Trump may tighten the sanctions regime on Iran.
More sanctions. He might be able to communicate with Tehran through Putin, who is now a very close ally of the Iranians. That remains to be seen.
Al-Sharif, however, expressed concern that Trump might recognize Israel's annexation of most of the West Bank under Israel's current hard-right government, which he says would complicate things dramatically for both the Palestinians and Jordan. Dale Gavlak, VOA News, Amman, Jordan.
At least six journalists were denied media accreditation to cover Donald Trump's election night watch party, at least one of whom was told it was because of her coverage of the Trump campaign. From Washington, Liam Scott reports.
Dozens, if not hundreds, of journalists will be at the watch party for Donald Trump, the Republican presidential candidate, at his Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida on Tuesday night. But at least six won't be allowed in. The journalists from the online news sites Axios, Politico, and Puck were denied credentials by the Trump campaign. A team of four from Politico had initially been approved for the event. On Monday, Politico magazine reported that a white nationalist had been fired from working on the Trump campaign in Pennsylvania. On Tuesday morning, the Politico reporters and photographer were told their credentials had been withdrawn. Politico declined to comment to VOA. The political correspondent for Puck, Tara Palmieri, was publicly denied access by Trump campaign co-manager Chris LaCivita, who cited her coverage. Axios reporter Sophia Tsai was also denied a credential not long after she reported on anxiety within the Trump campaign, according to media reports. Tsai referred VOA to Axios' communications team. In a statement emailed to VOA, Axios editor-in-chief Aja Whitaker-Moore defended Tsai, calling her an excellent reporter who has covered the 2024 presidential election with essential clinical coverage. VOA contacted the Trump campaign for comment, but as of early Tuesday evening had not received a response. Liam Scott, VOA News, Washington.
That's all from us here this Wednesday, November 6, 2024. We now leave you with Sam Mapangala and the song Nyama Choma. Listening to Sam Mapangala and the song Nyama Choma. For more on our programs, visit www.voaafrica.com. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer Carl Starling, we wish you a lovely evening. Remember to join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Moshi tanga, shinyanga zanziba.